Well, Jesus saves. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad Jesus still saves sinners? Aren't you really glad that he's still on the throne? Tell you right now, I'm really glad he still saves sinners. See, 7 years ago, I was a lost old boy. I was a lost old sinner boy, still trying to find hope, still trying to find peace, still trying to find love. But I got some good news for you tonight, my friends. And that good news is this. I don't have to search no longer. The search is over. It's been over because the Lord Jesus Christ found me. And when he found me, he gave me peace. He set me free from the law of sin. He set me free tonight from the law of sin. And if he sets you free tonight, give him a hand clap of praise. Because he sets sinners free. If he sets you free tonight from the law of sin. But I'm going to talk tonight about Jesus setting us free. Who does he set free? And have you ever been free? Have you ever been freed from the greatest, from the hardest of prisons? So it was a prison of sin. And a lot of us are still members of that prison. A lot of us are still sitting back there behind the jails of sin. And we have no way to get out of them. Oh, we keep trying to get out ourselves. Some of us keep trying to go to old man. Some of us keep trying to go to psychics to get ourselves out. Some of us like to go to church to get ourselves out of that prison. There's only one way to get out of the prison. That's to go through the prison guard. Let me tell you something, my friends. The prison guard's name is Jesus. There's no other way to come out of that prison but to go through the prison guard. And you got to go through him to get out of that prison of sin tonight. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to read here out of the book of John, chapter 8. And this is what the Word of God right here says. The Word of God right here says in verse number 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Tonight, my friends, the truth shall make you free. I want to speak tonight. The title of my message is, "Has the truth made you free?" Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the truth. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the peace that we have in you. Now, Father, I want to pray, Lord God, that you might speak to sinners, Lord. Lord, speak to them tonight, Father. Lord God, I pray, Father, the sinners, Lord, that are lost will come to know the Savior. They'll come to know Christ Jesus as I'm preaching this message, Lord. That's why I'm preaching it, Lord. I'm preaching it for sinners. Lord, I'm preaching, Lord God, to people, Lord, that are lost and on their way to a devil's hell might cry out and come out of the prison bars of sin and get saved tonight, Lord. Lord, that's why I'm praying tonight. Father, I pray, Lord God, you'll hide me behind the cross. Lord, let not one eye see a sinful, let not one eye see a sinful preacher. But Lord, let every eye see the Savior, the risen Savior, the one who saves sinners, the one who dies for sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, my friends, I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you still in the prison of sin? Let me tell you something, my friends. Jesus said, "Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Tonight, I want you to think for a second. Think just for a second about the last time you walked into a bar. Think about the last time you walked into that bar and the last time you picked up the booze bottle. Think about what happened to you after you drank that booze. I don't know anyone that stops after one drink. See, once you drink one, you want to keep going on. You want to keep getting more. Why? Because you become a servant of that sin. You become a servant of the alcohol. Ask a drug dealer. Ask him what happens to him the first time he puts that acid in his arm. The first time he puts some of that marijuana. The first time he smokes marijuana. Ask him what happens. He becomes a servant of acid. A servant of marijuana. Just ask people what happens every time they take pills. Some people take a bunch of drugs. We go to the drugstore and we buy drugs in the drugstore. Even over-the-counter drugs. What happens then? You keep on wanting to take more and more and more and more and more. You hardly ever stop with just one. Ask a baby what happens when the baby gets older and the child tells one lie. Once that child sees he's gotten away with one lie, he's going to keep telling more and more and more and more and more lies. Why? Because the moment you sin, you become a servant of that sin. And what happens then? See, anyone that murders, there's a judgment or a punishment for murder. And we know that judgment or punishment is prison. A lot of people say this person deserves prison. But do you realize tonight, my friends, that when you are committed sin, I don't care if it's a tiny little lie, I don't care if it's a tiny little lustful thought, that tiny little sin, you deserve judgment. You deserve the prison. And tonight, my friends, the prison is called hell. That is God's prison. And every single sinner on the face of the earth, whether young or old, it don't matter, they're all sentenced to a devil's hell from birth. You say, why is that, preacher? Because the moment sin is committed, no matter what that sin is, it demands judgment. And God is the judge. He's the one who performs all the final judges. And when he says, this judgment, that judgment stands. You're not going to run away from that judgment tonight, my friends. And let me tell you something, my friends. If you want to escape the penalty of doing it, you don't want to face the penalty, then don't do the crime. But see, we have a problem out there tonight. And this is the problem. Each one of us in the world are addicted to sin. You don't ever have to teach a baby how to tell a lie. Why do you not have to teach a baby how to tell a lie? But you got to teach the baby how to tell the truth. You don't have to teach a little child how to steal. You got to teach them how not to steal. You don't have to teach a baby you don't have to teach a baby to not be selfish. In fact, you got to teach your children how to share. Children are naturally selfish from birth. Why? Because selfishness is sin. And each one of us in the world, it don't matter who you are, it don't matter what color you are, you are born in sin. You are born a slave to sin. That's the problem with the world out there tonight. But see, the thing about it is, with every single disease in the world, there comes a little type of medication that some people use to overcome the disease. You talk about cancer, and there's medication today that can help you deal with cancer. That can help take away the effects of cancer. You have a little headache. People go and take Tylenol. It helps take away the effect of the headache. Yeah. This tonight, my friends, is the truth. Now I want you to check this out, okay? I want you to think about this for a second. With the disease of sin, what for medicine are you going to take to get rid of the disease of sin? What kind of medicine are you taking tonight to get rid of the disease of sin? What are you going to use to get rid of the disease of sin? See, there's a lot of different ways people want to get rid of the disease of sin. And I'm just going to name a few of them if I may. One, people try going to church to get rid of the disease of sin. It doesn't work. Because when you walk out of the church, you're still the same way when you first walked in the church. Nothing changed. They're still a slave to sin. Some people try the water bucket. And they think that a water bucket's going to get them out of sin. But then they come down the dry center and they come up a wet center and they walk out still the same way. A slave to their sin. A lot of people try self-help books. Oh, I'm sorry, Joel Osteen, but we don't need a self-help book. We got the Bible. That's the only book we need tonight, my friends. You want help? Turn to the truth. We don't need Joel Osteen's 10. We don't need a list of 10 things to do. All we need is one. We don't need a 12-step program. We got the one-step program, and that one step is Jesus. He's the only one you need tonight. We don't need none of these self-help books. Some people like to turn to a 12-step program. That don't work. Some people walk in a 12-step program, and they come out the same way they went in. They came out the slave to sin. See, the only way to stop being a slave, the only way to ever stop being a slave is to find someone free you from slavery. Somebody has to free you from the slavery. See, when this country, when this country first began, we had a North and South War. And it was called the Civil War. And what happened was, I believe it was the North, they were the ones that had the slaves. The South would come by and they wanted to fight against the slavery because they didn't believe in slavery. So they would come by and they'd fight the ones that believed in slavery. And all the way the fights would keep going on. Until one day the president came by and said, no, we're done with this. We're done with this. And slavery was outlawed. Somebody had to come by and stop the slavery. Tonight, my friends, there's not something going to stop slavery of sin. It's someone. See, that's another thing people like to do. People want to turn to other people to stop being slaves of sin. So people like to turn to the Pope. And they think the Pope's going to free them from their sin. The Pope ain't freeing you from your sin. Tonight, my friends, there's no hope in the dope. There's no hope in the Pope. So keep us a quit trying to find hope in a man that's hopeless. You ain't going to find hope in a hopeless case. You're only going to find hope in a hopeful case, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus was the Pope. I don't care what that church tells you. I don't care if the church tells you that he was the first Catholic Pope or Peter had to join in his footsteps. Let me tell you something, my friends. Jesus was no Pope. Yeah. Let me tell you something else tonight, my friends. You don't need an organization to free you from your sin. Right. Some people want to follow an organization called the Kingdom Hell. Tonight, my friends, there's no escaping sin in the kingdom hall. You can keep on going every week and walk out the same way. You're still a lost, filthy, dirty sinner, and there's no hope in it. Wow. Some of us want to turn to a temple, and we start looking through the Masonic Lodge. But I got some bad news for you, Masonic Lodge people. There's no hope in the Lodge. Yeah. The Lodge is in hell. You want freedom tonight from sin? You gotta turn to the Savior. You gotta turn to the nail, scarred hands. That's the only place to turn. Some people want to turn to a temple called the Mormon Temple. I got some bad news for them Latter-day Saints. You're not the Latter-day, and you ain't no saint. You're the Latter-day Aints. That's what you're called tonight, my friends. You want to be a saint? You got to come through Jesus. That's the only way to get to become a Latter-day Saint. I don't care what the name on your church house tells you. I don't care what some man tells you. You might have religion, but if you ain't got Jesus, you're religious and lost. That's the point, my friends. Sin is a disease that kills. It's 100% fatal. No one survives sin. I don't care who you are. Joseph Smith didn't survive sin. My friends, Joseph Smith went to hell. And I know they ain't going to make me popular tonight. And let me tell you some bad news, my friends. You don't need a Seventh-day Adventist to come by your house and teach you that Jesus was the Archangel Michael. Let me tell you some bad news, my friends. Jesus is God. And you're going to fall at his feet one day. Whether you like it or not, you're going to fall at his feet one day. You're going to fall at the feet of Jesus. See, the Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And it's just in case you forgot, it doesn't say every knee shall bow and then stop. It says, of things in heaven. That means all the angels are going to bow at the feet of Jesus. Things in the earth, that means every single human being is going to bow at the feet of Jesus. And then it says the things under the earth, and that includes hell. All of hell bows falls at the feet of Jesus. They're all bowing at the feet of Jesus. Satan himself will bow at the feet of Jesus. There's no use running around trying to find hope in a satanic cult. He's going to bow one day too. Your leader of your religious organization is going to bow one day too. The man you're putting your hope and trust in is going to bow one day at the feet of Jesus. I'd hate to put my hope and trust in a man who's just going to bow. Why not put your trust and hope in the man who doesn't need to bow? I got some good news for you tonight, my friends. If you're a sinner, there is a cure for sin. And that cure is called the blood. You know why devils hate the blood? You know why devils hate the mention of the blood? Because just the very mention of the blood of Jesus, devils tremble. No devil in hell likes the mention of the blood of Jesus. I was at a yard sale once, and I was standing right outside, and there was a big old tent, bunch of different places. No, not a yard sale. Sorry, the flea market. So I had this flea market, and here's this one little tent set up. It's a Christian tent. All these women were walking by, and these two women looked, and they made a comment. They said, "Christianity's from the devil." And I looked right at them, and I said, "What was that again?" And they looked at me, and they said, "Christianity is of the devil." And I walked over to them, and I asked them, I said, "Would you like to repeat that again?" And the woman looked at me, and the woman said, "Who are you following?" I looked at her and said, "I'm following Jesus." Yeah. Looked at her and said, "I'm following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one you're eventually going to bow down to." And she said, "I'm not going to bow down to no Jesus." I said, "You're going to bow, and not just bow, but you're going to confess he's Lord. That's what you're going to do. Whether you like it or not, that's what you're going to do." You know what she said to me? She looked at me, she said, "I'll put a hex on you." She said, "I'll pray tonight and put a curse on you." And I looked at her, and I looked right at her friend. I said, "You know what? You and no devil in hell can go through the blood of Jesus. You could try to put your curse on me, but it ain't going to work because it can't go through the blood. You can't touch the blood-bought sinner. You can't touch him because he's purchased with the blood of God. You can't fool with that." And you know what they did? Oh, they dropped their heads and walked away mad and angry. They went and got the manager of the flea market to go and kick us all out. And the manager looked at me and the manager looked at me and said, "Why are you preaching religion in this place?" I looked at him and said, I'm sorry, sir, but the only people preaching religion is those two witches right there. I'm preaching a relationship. This is a relationship. That's a religion." And that right there shook the manager up, plus it shook them two witches up. I didn't hear another peep out of either one of them. Yeah. You know why? Because once again, ain't none of them knew they can go through the blood. They knew they couldn't make it through the blood. That's what Christians need today. Christians say, we need more faith in the blood. Right. We need to realize what the blood did. The blood made us free. It was the blood that washed us free. It's the blood that washed away sins. So we got religions out there that teach, well, you get saved by the blood, but then you have to keep your salvation because every day you sin, you lose your salvation. That's bad news. Where's good news in that? You know what the good news is? You know why the Bible says we're going to sing the song of the redeemed? You know why the Bible says the angels desire to look into what we have? Because we're the only ones that were ever blood bought of all of our sins. Right. Every single one of them. That's why we can shout. Right. You can't shout if you lose your salvation. How can you shout through that? There's no shouting through it no more. Oh, you might be able to shout when you get saved, but then once you lose it, there ain't no more shouting being on. You can't shout no more. All the shouting's been done away with. You know what I think that is? I think that's the devil trying to keep your shouter broken. I don't think the devil wants you shouting no more. Because I remember looking through the scriptures, And I remember the devil's crowd coming to Jesus, looking at Jesus, saying, Lord, shut your disciples up. Well. And I remember Jesus looking at them, and I remember Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the rocks are going to shout out in their place. Hey, Christian, are you doing enough shouting, or is the rock shouting out in your place? Are you doing enough shouting tonight? Or are you going to a dead, dry bone church where you can't even stand up and shouting amen occasionally? I'm sorry, no, my friends. I don't want no rock in the world ever going to shout, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't want no rock shouting that in my place. So when the devil's crowd tries to come by and shut me up, I'm going to look and say, I got something to shout about. Or we could shout at a football game. We could shout at the Super Bowl. Oh, hallelujah, the Browns won the Super Bowl. But we can't even shout when Jesus won the bigger Super Bowl, when he won the bold death of the cross of Calvary for us sinners. We can't shout over that, but we can sure shout over a bunch of football overgrown men going out there playing a game. Wow. We can shout over that, but we can't let it out shouting over Jesus. Right. Oh, it became illegal to shout Jesus. It became legal to shout any other time. Why are people clapping at the movie theaters after the movie's over? They begin clapping because, oh my gosh, how about that? How about the superhero just won the girl? But you can't even clap in church. I got a problem with that tonight, my friends. I got a big problem. People who want to clap at a movie theater don't even want to clap in church. Why aren't they clapping in church? Maybe it's because they forgot how they got freed. See, when you become free, it's like a man. I remember this picture. It's like a man after 9/11 took place. There was a man over in Iraq. President Bush just got done sending the troops into Iraq. They already started the war, and there was a man in the water. He was in the water all the way out there. And as the lifeguard came out, the police came out, the patrol came out, they're looking at him, they're saying, hey, what's going on, man? Come on back in. The man, all he looked at him and says, man, can't you taste freedom? Can't you smell it? I'm free! Yeah. He was freed from the oppression of Saddam Hussein. Why do you think he was shouting? Because once you taste freedom, you want to shout. Because freedom causes people to shout. Freedom should make you happy. Right. Hey, if you're freed from your sin, you ought to start shouting. Yeah. You ought to start praising God more in what you do. Or maybe you're like those little kids that are still bound up in it. Hey, there's a problem, you know. Sin becomes a disease that... sin, the disease never stops. See, it keeps going and getting worse and worse and worse. See, a child that begins telling one little white lie, it grows into a real big lie. A child that had their attention put on secular Friday the 13th movies, later on they become murderers themselves. Why? Because your sin starts out real small, and it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Sin doesn't stop growing, my friends, unless the sin is broken. And something has to break the sin barrier. I got good news for you out there tonight. You want to know what broke the sin barrier down? It didn't take an axe to break it down. All it took was a cross. Praise God for the cross. The cross of Calvary broke the sin barrier. And you know what else it took? All it took was an empty tomb at the end of it. And even death themselves can't hold you in no more. Death itself can't even hold you in no more. Hey, how about this for a good way to shout? You're never going to see death. Come on, somebody let it out. Yeah. You're never going to see death. How about this for another way of shouting? The fire of hell can't even harm you. Hey, you won't even get your fingers stuck in the fire. Woo! No part of your body's going to be stuck in hell. All right. How about that? Why aren't you shouting, my friends? Why aren't you going in there? Why aren't you jumping around shouting? You know what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were doing there throwing that fire? They were shouting. They were praising God. You know why? Because the fire didn't even touch a hair in their head. Right. Yes, they were in the fire, but didn't even touch a hair in their head. Because they came walking up out of that fire, all the men looked around and said, why didn't these men get burned? No. You know why they never got burned? Because Jesus was walking in the midst of the fire with them. And I got some good news for the Christian tonight. Jesus already walked in the midst of the fire for you. He already faced all of hell. He faced hell's best weapon. And guess what, my friends? Jesus overcome it with a cross. Woo! He overcome all of hell's best weapon. The devil's best weapon, death, was defeated by Jesus. I have never met a man who defeated the devil's best weapon. All men fall at death. But Jesus never fell. Jesus kept on going. Yeah, they might have had his body out for 3 days, but he was right back in the race. They might have had him out of the match for 3 days, but he got right back up in the match and won the battle. The bout's over. And Jesus is the WWJD champion.
Yes.
He is the world wrestling champion.
Right.
He defeated the devil on the cross of Calvary. He wrestled with the devil and won. That's something to shout about. He wrestled with the devil of sin and won the victory. Sin no longer holds its curse. The Bible says, O sin, where is thy victory? Where is the victory in sin anymore? It's over. It's done. The three words Jesus said on the cross, you know what he said? His final three words, it is finished. That's all it took. Three words. And you know what he basically said in that? Sin is done. You know what he said? For those that put their faith and trust in him now, these three words, and I want you to always remember these three words because they helped me through a lot of trials and tribulation. You know what they are? Paid in full. There's no half job done at the cross. All of sin was done away with on the cross. God took all of your sin and the punishment of your sin and he laid it upon himself. As God the Father looked at God the Son and he nailed him to the cross. God the Father turned his head away. And this is what I think about. God the Father and God the Holy Ghost turned their head away from Jesus. So they wouldn't have to turn their head away from you. That's amazing. That's amazing love. No wonder the songwriter said, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my king, shouldst die for me? No wonder the songwriter wanted to write that. No wonder they wanted to put that on paper. Because that's the most amazing love in the world. That God, the King, would choose to die for him. Or for me. Or for you. How about that tonight, sinner? Your Creator died for you. How many other gods died for you? Buddha didn't die for you. Krishna didn't die for you tonight. Even Pope John Paul didn't die for you. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. Every other god in the world requires you to die for them. Ask old Jim Baker. He'll tell you. But Jesus didn't ask you to die for him. He died for you. He's worth following. That's the God worth following. When he is willing to leave his own throne, become a man. How about that? He didn't just become anything. He became a sinful man. He became the worst of dust. Hey, you know what else he became? I thought about this one day. Jesus became a filthy, dirty rag. Makes you think, don't it? That's how much he loved you. He was willing to become a dirty, filthy rag of sin for you. So you wouldn't have to be that dirty, filthy rag of sin all your life. This is something else he did. He looked at you and he says, "What? How much do you owe?" And you looked at Jesus and said, "I owe everything. I owe my life." And Jesus said, "No longer worry. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to take the crime upon myself. And I'm going to do the time. So you don't have to worry about it no more. Don't worry about doing the time anymore." If that ain't enough to want to draw you to your knees and thank him, I don't know what is. I don't know about anything else that anyone could have done that was any greater than that. If you walked into court today and you knew that you owed the President of the United States, you knew that you owed him $1 million, and you had to pay up by Friday, and today is Thursday, and you had to pay up in one day, and you owed $1 million, how would you come up with $1 million in one day if all you're making a week is 200? My friends, how would you do it? Well, you show up at the court hearing, and President Bush sits there, and he says, "Well, where's my $1 million? And you look at him, and you're about ready to cry. You're about ready to say, "I don't have it." And you know what's going to happen if you don't pay him the money. He's going to throw you in jail. He's the president. He's the authority in the land. You know if he says jail time, it's jail time. You know if he says life, if he says death, it's death. But all of a sudden, in walks the vice president of the United States. And he walks in and he looks at the president and says, "President, their debt is cleared." And the president looks over and says, "Who paid their debt?" And the vice president says, "I did." What would you do for the vice president of the United States if he did that for you? Would you walk out of there with your head down? Or would you walk out of that place shouting praises to him? Shouting, "Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you for doing that for me!" Why are we willing to do that for Jesus? When the Father of all creation, you owed a debt to him and you had to pay it to him. And just before you had to pay it to him, the son or the vice president walks in the room and he says, "Debt paid in full." And the father says, "Who paid it?" And the son says, "I did. I paid it, and here's proof." And he shows his nail-scarred hands. And then the father looks down, and he sees your charge sheet, and it's all white as snow. And he blades that old hammer down, and he says, "Innocent as charged. Go your way." Hallelujah! You're innocent tonight! Your sins have been blotted out! There's no ordinance of sin held against you no more. When you're saved, if you're unsaved, the charge of sin is still there. You got to get the charge cleaned out before you die. After death, the charges remain. There is no purgatory. There's no time. There's no rest for you to get it out. There's no little place of rest. There's no time after death. Bad news. Your family can't get them out for you. Your family, once you're in hell, they can't pay your way out. They can't do enough good deeds to get you out of there. Once the charges are on you, they're on you for good. There's a song I would love to be able to play to go along with this sermon about being free. In this song, this is an example I want to give, just to use the song. And then if you have a chance to go get the song, get the song. It's a real good song. But in this song, there's a courtroom, and the father is there. And the devil, the prosecutor, comes in, and he walks in the room, and he starts telling all your sins out. He starts naming all of your sins out. Then he goes through all the list of sins. He's, this person was this, 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 and this. And the father looks at the person. He says, how do you plead? The person knows he has to plead guilty. But yet, there's a silence in the courtroom. And all of a sudden, you hear this, a big banging of the door. And in walks someone. In walks the most crucial point of the courtroom. In walks the Savior. Nail scarred and all, in walks the Savior. And he walks up to the judge's bench. And he says, Judge, remember 2,000 years ago? On an old rugged cross right there in Jerusalem. Do you remember when they led me up that hill called Calvary? Remember when they led me through Golgotha up that hill? Do you remember when they were casting lots for my garments? Do you remember when they drove them nails through my hand and my feet? Do you remember how they put that crown of thorns on my head? Judge, he's paid in full. And you know how we know that payment's been accepted? The father looks, the devil looks. And by this time, the devil's starting to get a little bit mad. He's starting to get worried. And Jesus looks at the father and says, well, Father, Judge, 3 days later, I got up. And when I got up, he was free. And then the father looks down at the same pages that just moments earlier had all of his sins written in. By this time, the person's looking in shock. The devil's getting mad. And the father looks down. He says, there's nothing there. The blood of Jesus must have worked, because there's nothing written in this book. And all of a sudden, the devil starts shouting, hey, no, 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 you got the wrong book. You got to look again. You got to find it. It's there. I know it's there. And all of a sudden, God finds this other book. And he picks up the other book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And just there at the end of that book, he sees that guy's name written there. And the father looks and says, devil, maybe you mean this book. And the devil comes over and he says, his name is right here in the book of life. His sins are forgiven. Woo! Hallelujah! His sins have been forgiven. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Our sins have been forgiven. And his name's in the book of life. Tonight, my friends, if you're unsaved and you're lost, all you got to do is come to Jesus. Come to faith in Jesus tonight. Don't be afraid to come to Jesus. Just come to him because he wants to save you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest unto your souls. He will give you peace unto your souls. He will give you life everlasting. All you got to do is come to Him. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're freed by the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only truth, and He is the only everlasting life. That is it tonight, my friends. Jesus is the truth. You'll know Him, and He will make you free. You'll be free in Jesus tonight. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to come to Him tonight. Please, please, I beg you, don't be afraid to come to Him. If you're saved tonight, I want to challenge you. I challenge you to walk out of this place in victory. Walk out of this place with your head lifted high, up to heaven. And don't hold back your shouting no more. I challenge you to let it out. I challenge you to be like that man in Iraq who was finally freed from oppression. I challenge you to be like him. Because he tasted the taste of freedom. Get free tonight. There's freedom in the blood. There's freedom at the cross. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this sermon. Thank you, Lord God, for freedom. Father, we don't thank you enough, Lord God, for making us free. But Father, tonight, Lord, I want to begin by thanking you. Thank you for making me free. Thank you for wiping away all my sins. Though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. Father, there's nothing else greater in the world than to have sins blotted out and have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank you once again, Father, for what you're doing. And what you're going to do, use this sermon now, Father, to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To Jesus, give Him your life today. Come on to Jesus, let Him have His way. Yeah.
just sing it with us. Sing it out.
Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus. Let him have his way.
Oh, I know there are things in your life you think he can't forgive, but he'll forgive and forget, my friend, and show you how to live.
Let him have his way.
Don't you put it off, my friend.
You can't afford to wait.
Today
sing it with us. Sing it out. Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus. Let him have his way. Let him have his way.
Don't you put it off, my friend.
You can't afford to wait.
Today is the day for you.
just sing it with us. Sing it out.